what does being in resistance mean? What are some ways we get caught up in resistance? How can we change our mindset from a resistance mindset to an acceptance mindset? And what does acceptance mean? And what does it look like? These are a few of the questions that we address in this podcast. If you're ready to come with an open mind and an open heart to learn and grow with us as we take a deep dive into resistance and what acceptance can do for you, we'd love to welcome you to another episode of You Already Are. Hello and welcome to another episode of You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host,
Michael Gardner. Hello.
We are excited to be here. We are going to talk about a topic today that we've touched on in the past with a few episodes, but we really wanted to hit it hard today. Michael, do you want to introduce our topic today?
Sure. And this morning, my wife was reading and she asked me about resistance, the idea of resistance, being in resistance. So we had a really nice conversation. It probably lasted 45 minutes, believe it or not. So I threw that at Alyssa and said, here's an idea, because we hadn't talked about what we're going to talk about. And sometimes we don't. We just kind of go.
We just come on and we're just like, let's do it.
But I just thought, well, you know, it's something that comes up a lot in our lives and with a lot of people. We don't always know we're doing it, but it's something that impedes us. I mean, the whole vision of this is the journey to inner peace. Resistance will impede that. So I thought maybe we'd talk about that. So
Michael, can you explain what we mean by resistance?
Well, simply it means we're closed off. We resist change. We resist people. We resist certain attributes. I mean, when I say that, I don't mean we have to. We just tend to have a resistance. I'll give you an example. I played baseball growing up, and back when I was growing up, major league pitchers would start a game and finish the game, 9 innings. Today, they go like 5, and they have all these specialists that come in. For a long time, I have resisted that. Now, how do I resist that? They're doing it. But I'm like, no, that's not how you play the game. But first of all, my resistance has had zilch effect on how the game is played today. And I was I would get a little, even worked up about that. That's stupid. That's dumb. They shouldn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. But guess what? They do. And that's the way the game is played. So the way to shift that is to be in acceptance. But we resist acceptance because we think if I accept it, that means I must condone it. Well, like in baseball, it's just what's going on. It's not a condoning. It's just that's what they're doing today. But in some things in life that we resist, let's say, people that may do things that we think are immoral or wrong. When we're in resistance, it's a judgment we place on them. Because they shouldn't do that. They should do this. But what happens when we're in resistance to what they're doing? You go and tell somebody they're wrong. Guess what they're likely to do? Resist. People don't like to be wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You should do this. Well, they go into resistance. Now we have resistance hitting resistance. And nothing seems to shift. So if we accept this is what they do, first of all, we can step out of judgment, and some things we probably, I don't really embrace the phrase none of my business, because everything is kind of all our business. We're all in this world together. But we open ourselves up to inspiration, and then maybe we do say something, maybe we don't, based on the inspiration, because when we step out of resistance into acceptance, we accept and we're open to inspiration of how to deal with something. I don't think I'm going to get an inspiration on baseball, as far as that goes. Like they're going to listen to me, but maybe they will. But it seems to be the way things are. But when we're in resistance to anything, and I would invite you to think about something you're in resistance to. Kathy and I talked about this, my wife. There are certain people we have a resistance to them. And we tend to think, well, it's just them. But no, when we're in resistance to anything, we're in resistance to everything. We may let other people come into our lives a little bit more, or because we agree with them, we like being around them. But when you're in the state of resistance, you're really resistant to everything because it's unconditional, just like love or forgiveness or, you know, acceptance or whatever.
So I think a really good example of being in resistance regarding people is our spouses. Sometimes we think, I wish that my husband was this way, or, you know, like, why does my husband do that? And, oh, my husband is just that way. Like, I feel like we get into this mode of just like, we don't like certain things about our spouses and we get into resistance with it. And you can go even, you know, you could go further with that, but it's like, there was this podcast I listened to, and I mentioned this before in a previous podcast. It's the Mindset Mentor, and he talks about radical acceptance, and he talks about how, you know, acceptance doesn't mean resignation. It doesn't mean that you're resigning to this fate. It just means that things are what they are. And this is a quote from Michael J. Fox. He says, acceptance does not mean resignation. It is knowing that things are what they are and there's a way to get through it. And I've shared that several times, but it's like, you can't look at your spouse and just with disdain and resistance of part of who they are, or the habits that they have, or, you know, like, let's say your husband chews too loud, or your husband snores, or your wife picks her fingernails.
Either one. That last one, snores.
Your wife snores. Your wife picks her fingernails. You know, like little things that we just let eat at us. Like, oh, I don't like it when you do that. And, oh, it just drives me crazy when you're this way. That's resistance to that person. And when you just stop and just accept what is, you can't change them. You can change yourself. You can inspire them. But they still have to make that choice. And so that's kind of, I think, the power that we have is when we get out of that resistance and we accept the people as they are, the things as they are, and just know, I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. But I can change myself. So I have a really funny story to share about this. Actually, it just came to me. So I'm planning an anniversary trip for me and my husband, and I'm really excited about it. And he gave me a budget, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this trip within your budget, because I have a tendency that sometimes when he gives me a budget, I just blow it out of the water. But it was a mindset thing. We've talked about it. I've worked on it. Anyways, so I'm like, okay, we're going to do this trip in this budget. And I was like originally thinking of one place, but then I chose another place. And I was like worried that this place that I chose was not going to fit in the budget. But as I did more research and I was like, I really want to do this trip, I was almost like, it doesn't matter. But then I looked into it and I was like, no, like we could totally do this trip in your budget. Like we can totally do it. So I started like, I picked the dates, I picked flights, I started booking things, you know, and Remington comes up to me the day that I made decisions. He's like, what days are we going to again? And I told him like, oh, we're going May 1st to, you know, May 9th or something like that. And he was like, I have something on May 2nd. And I was like, no, you don't. I checked the schedule. I checked the calendar. Like, there's no way you have something. My husband puts everything on the calendar, everything. And so a lot of routine things that I think don't matter are on the calendar. So this thing that was on the calendar looked like just a routine thing, like just a normal meeting that he probably could reschedule, because when we go on trips, he still has all of these things that are scheduled, but we're actually on a trip. Okay. So that's what I thought it was, but it's not one of those things. It was like a really important big meeting that he's having with all of his partners. And I was like, no, oh my gosh, no. I was freaking out. I literally, my mood went from like elation to anger. I was angry about it. And I was like, no, like we can't do that. And I looked, like, we were driving to the store with our kids and we were going to go have this really nice afternoon, but I was just a storm inside. And I looked at the flights, if I were to change our dates, even just a few days, and it would have cost us $1,000 more. And I was like, that's not in our budget. Oh my gosh. I was so angry. So here I am in this resistance mode of just like, I'm not accepting this. This is not okay. I'm so angry. I will not accept that this is going to happen. And I was ready to be like, Remington, you're going to change your meeting. You got to figure it out because I already got this stuff. So anyways, we got back from this lunch and I'll tell you, my resistance made the whole trip a really bad experience for everybody. Like, my kids could feel it and they were all crazy, and like Remington was trying so hard to have a good time, but he could feel it too, and it started eating at him by the end of it. And when we got home, our kids went down for naps and everything, and I spent some solid time like researching if we could still do this trip, and I was able to do it. And it was fine. And once I started like actually, you know, rearranging things, it was okay. But I realized, and now especially, that I was in so much resistance. And that's what resistance does to us, is it causes anger and frustration and all of the I wouldn't say negative feelings, but like all of the feelings that we don't like. That's what resistance causes. And I, you know, like once I was like accepted, like, okay, I can't change the fact that Remington has that on that date. Like, I can't change that. And I didn't ask him to change it because he was not willing to, but I could change my approach to it. And it was like, even if, and he was so funny. He's like, even if you can't go to the place that you want to go to, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. I mean, he wasn't in resistance. He was in acceptance, but he didn't understand. It's a surprise trip, so he doesn't know where we're going. And he doesn't understand the difference between where I was thinking about going and where we're actually going. And anyways, so that was me in resistance and me recognizing that I was in resistance. And really, it doesn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have made a big difference in our, you know, everyday life. And in our happiness. But I was dead. I was like, it does matter. And that's where I was at. So that's my I was in resistance story.
Well, and it does matter. It's just, how do you deal with it? You know, because of course it matters. It was important to you. That's important to him. Both of those things matter. So how do you make it work in a world where we have a lot of conflict and we have a lot of different people and things like that? But when you're in resistance to the idea, you will not see possibilities, where when you just kind of let go, not kind of let go, I got to be careful with my language here. You let go of the resistance and now all of a sudden you open up and you see possibilities. Okay, it doesn't have to look the way I think it was supposed to look. You know, I have a friend who used to, in the trainings we do a demonstration of how he was with his family on family vacations. Everything was mapped out to the minute, almost. We're going to get in the car, and he loves Disneyland. And so we're going to go to Disneyland. So he would plan where they're going to go, where they're going to stop. They're going to be here, and for an hour, they're going to enjoy their time there. Maybe it was Death Valley or something like that. He lives in Utah. But, you know, it's like, okay, an hour's up. Let's go. Get in the car, kids. Get in the car. Let's go, because we're going to have fun over here. And he would talk about how when they'd come back, nobody had fun. Because they were not conforming to his idea of fun. And when you go to Disneyland, how do you plan out anything? If you haven't been, the best thing you can do is plan on standing in line for most of the day, because that's pretty much what Disneyland is. But for him, you know, he just was like, I couldn't figure out why my family wasn't having fun. I planned all the fun things. And down to the minute, we can have fun here for 2 hours and do this for 3 hours. And we got to get in the car, but somebody has to go to the bathroom. No, you can't go to the bathroom yet. We got to wait till we get here 2 hours down the road. And all the chaos that ensued. And he's since learned, I hope so, he's a good friend of mine, to be a little more flexible in that and see the possibility. And they came out and visited us like a year ago, and we had a blast with them. And, you know, he has shifted a lot. But that's, you know, when we're in resistance, we're very rigid, firm, inflexible. We're not willing to see possibilities. And so if the journey The quest is for peace. It doesn't fit in to that.
Well, let's talk about like anxiety and how resistance causes anxiety. I got really bad anxiety when I would travel, especially with my kids. I was like so stressed out. I experienced a lot of traveling with my kids, specifically with babies. And there was just a lot of anxiety that built up whenever I would travel with my kids, whether it was because I felt judgment from other people about me and my kids, or because traveling with kids and having 10 bags that they can't carry that I have to carry, and I have to check them all, and I have to go through security, and I have to take off all this stuff, and then I have to be holding a baby and pushing a stroller all by myself. It was very stressful. I traveled with my kids by myself several times, and it gave me some trauma. And so a lot of times when I think about traveling with my kids, I get really anxious and really pent up, even just traveling in general. Like when I go on to like flights and things like that, like I would normally just tense up and just be really stressed out the whole time until we get on the plane. And then it's like, I can breathe. We made it, you know, we made it on the plane. But I've realized that I'm causing my own anxiety. I'm choosing to just be resistant to anything. And so it's like the anxiety that I feel is because I'm like, well, I just need to get to the plane and this is too chaotic. Like my kids are making too much noise. I have too many bags. I'm in resistance to the circumstances and the situation. There were several times when I've had a security guard tell me, you need to go back to the desk and you need to get your boarding pass, and your boarding pass doesn't match your birthday because they put it in wrong, or you need to go dump out ice because apparently ice is a liquid, which doesn't make sense to me, but I've had that happen to me several times. Okay.
You might blow up the plane with the ice.
With ice.
Yes.
Okay. So for a really long time, up until probably this year, since I've been on this mindset journey, I every time I go to the airport, every time we have a flight, I just get super anxious about it. And now, like, I think about our trip to Chiapas, Mexico, just recently, my anxiety was way lower. Like, I was just like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And if we miss our flight, we miss our flight. And there was a possibility that we might, because the president of the United States was flying into Las Vegas when we were flying out to go to Chiapas. It was an hour delay. And we were like, our connecting flight, well, we were already kind of on the runway. So thankfully it was only an hour. We had friends that it was like a 3 to 4 hour thing because they shut the airport down.
Right.
So anyways, so I realized on this trip, and even in our trip that we had earlier this year, it was just like I was way more capable of just kind of going with the flow and just doing whatever needed to happen happened, and just accepting, like, I don't know how this is gonna go, but we're just gonna do it. And we've never been to Mexico before, and that was a new experience, and I just had to accept whatever was gonna happen because I couldn't change it. And I'm not perfect at it. I still, on the way back, I got a little bit of anxiety. I don't even remember when, but I just remember there was a time when I was just like, I was feeling so anxious about something. And I think it was just my body's reaction to the fact that I was traveling, because that's what I've done for years, you know. But that's the difference between resistance of having this, oh my gosh, we just got to get on the plane. Kids, just be quiet. Oh, there's so much going on. I don't know, like, oh, I got to go back to get my ticket, and oh my gosh, this is so frustrating. Or it could be like, oh, okay, let's just, oh, we have to wait in line. Okay, that's okay. We'll get on the plane. If we don't, it's okay. You know, like, we can't do anything about it. And maybe it's like we can have the feelings of frustration if we don't make our plane, but it's like you can't change the fact that you weren't there on time, or that things took longer, or that things got canceled. I mean, like, I remember spending a full 24 hours in an airport because my plane got canceled, and that was stressful. And I had two very young children. I was very, very stressed out. But the difference is you have all of this anxiety and stress, or you can be the calm in the storm and just be there, accept radical acceptance, just accept what's happening to you and make the choices that you can make, rather than allowing what's happening to you to influence what's happening inside of you.
Well, you know, speaking of children, when I used to sit in church before I was married and had kids, there would be unruly children walking around, and I would think, why don't they do something about them? This is so rude. And then I had kids, and my kids are all adopted. Two of them came from backgrounds that were, for lack of a better word, abusive. Well, they brought that into our home. Not that they were bad kids, but they were just kids. They were 2 years old, and they had been in an environment that was a little different than what I wanted. So they were not conforming to my ideas of how a kid should behave, especially at church. And so when I would see them, I would really go back to the past where other people had kids that were a little unruly, and I would march my children out and take them out in the foyer and let them know how wrong they were. But I later looked and, you know, I realized I wasn't doing that for them. I was doing that to look good, you know, so other parents could see, I'm not going to be like those other parents and let my kid just run around. I mean, I didn't want to let them run around, but my whole response to it was a reaction. And it was the purpose of it was not for my kid to learn. It was to look good to other people so they wouldn't think I'm a bad parent.
And you mentioned that when you didn't have kids, that's how you felt. And There have been so many times when I've looked back at my past self, my past non-kid Alyssa, and I'm like, I was so judgmental. And like, I remember thinking like that would come into effect a lot of times when I was parenting my own kids. And I've gotten much better at letting that go. But I just remember always being like, my kids will never throw a fit like that. And my kids will never do that. And my kids are going to do this and this and this and this and this. I think we all do that. But then when we actually experience what it's like to have children and all of those things get thrown out the window because we realize like it's hard to be a parent and it's, you know, challenging and all of those things that I was saying was very judgmental. We start to be judgmental about ourselves. Like, oh, you said you would never let your kids do that and you're such a failure or whatever. And it's like, that's once again, resistance. It's judgment and resistance because I think resistance comes with some judgment. Like when you resist a person, you're judging.
Of course.
You're judging that person.
Yeah.
And you're resisting who they are rather than just being open and accepting what is and not placing judgment on them. It just is. You can discern. We've talked about this, the difference between judgment and discernment. You can discern whether or not you like to be around that person. But that doesn't mean you have to judge them and say, well, that person is this way. And I have several people in my life right now that I'm thinking of that I'm like, maybe I need to get out of resistance with these people.
Well, you know, and that's a point of looking at why do we resist them? Because resistance comes from fear. What is it about how they show up? And when we're looking at somebody, you know, we're seeing how they show up. It doesn't necessarily mean that's who they are. You know, there's a lot of people that like, I'm my own person, yet we find out they're really conforming to what a nonconformist would do. You know, we're individuals and we're nonconformists, yet all of them are over here dressed alike as nonconformists. But they're conforming to something. So, you know, but that's them. And looking at them without judgment, we can see that. But then it's like, okay, you know, they can do that. They have tattoos and they do this and they do that and I don't do that. And that opens me up to discern, do I want to be around them? There's another guide in the city of Charleston, but he wears a big spiky mohawk and he wears leather with little spike things on it. And you first look at him, he's tall, he's like 6'6", and he comes with this, and it's, you know, blue maybe, or red, or whatever his mohawk is, and his head's shaved otherwise. And when I first saw him, I was like, oh, he's scary. He's one of the nicest people you could know. And I hadn't seen him in a long, long time, but he walked by the other day, and he was, you know, just happy to see him. You know, he would march by his own drummer, conforming, yes, to the nonconformist way. But just looking at him, you know, you'd think, oh gosh, why would I even attempt to get to know him? But I know him pretty well now, as far as I can, and seeing him just as a guide once in a while. And he is very, you know, underneath it all, he's a very sweet guy. But the appearances don't show that. So when we're in resistance to someone, I could just let this guy walk by and go, I'm not even going to give him the time of day. But when we shift from resistance to acceptance, I don't want to live the lifestyle he lived, but we can have a relationship with those people. It doesn't mean they're going to come over and, you know, stay overnight. Maybe it does, but we just allow ourselves to experience more things by being accepting than by being in resistance. Resistance is fear, and we close off. You know, some people are very comfortable living alone, and I'm not to judge them, but, you know, I do wonder how much of that is fear. They've been hurt a lot in relationships, so they'd rather be alone than to risk getting hurt. So they say, I just like to live alone and be by myself. So when we're in resistance, so we can go that far. You know, people become hermits. Basically, what I'm saying is, you know, resistance is a fear. So if there's somebody that you're in resistance to, it does serve to say, what is it about them that I resist? And is that something in me that I don't like that I'm resisting within myself? You know, if somebody's obnoxious, well, am I obnoxious? And that part just kind of, I don't like the competition or something like that. Or
it's a reflection of yourself and maybe your insecurities of yourself.
Right. Or are they self-righteous? Are they preachy? You know, is there something in me? And yeah, I can be all those things. I can be all those things. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's something about us. But if we look at, why am I resisting this person? What is it about them? I want to keep them at arm's length. What is it I fear? Because if this person has a weird personality, do I not want to be close to them because I'm afraid of what other people will think if I hang around with this person? Or is it I don't want to look weird? You know, it could be a lot of things. But, you know, looking at, why are we resisting the things that we resist? The world is very different from when I grew up. You know, I grew up in the 60s. That's probably your parents' era, too. If you would have told us back then what would be going on in the world today, we would not have believed it. Not just with technology and things, but the social trends that are going on today. Even 20 years ago, a lot of it we wouldn't have believed. And so when that happens, it's uncomfortable because things are shifting and it's out of our comfort zone. So we resist it, and we resist it because we're afraid we cannot deal with it. So we just like, no, I wish things were the way they were back when I was a kid. Well, we can wish that, but they never will be. Back when I was a kid, news came on for a half hour each night. You know, we did things different. People sat around the dinner table as families and ate dinner, and there was no TV on. You know, cars didn't have all the gadgets they have. Believe it or not, most cars didn't have air conditioning back in the 60s. I know. It's like, what?
Ouch.
We had 8-track cassette players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, we had air conditioning. We called it, you know, 60, 460, four windows rolled down at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That was tough. I mean, it really was tough. But anyway, you know, when we're in resistance, we cannot experience the joy and the peace and all that. So it's like, what do we fear that we're in resistance to? Because when you're in resistance to anything, you're in resistance to everything. And what we resist persists. Not that the world won't change, but the fear persists as long as we're in resistance.
And I don't know if I would say that it's fear all the time. I think of like resistance, like, I'll give you an example. I feel like my kids have been in resistance a lot lately. And it's probably maybe mine and my husband's example, or over the years. For example, this year, for Easter, I did not buy them like candy and toys to go for an Easter egg hunt. And they were really upset about that. They said it wasn't their theme for the year, I guess, this year has been, that's not fair. So every time somebody gets something, that's not fair. And, oh, you know, one kid had a birthday and they got presents. That's not fair. We didn't put candy in the eggs. Oh, no fair. Our friends got this. So that, I mean, kids are in resistance a lot when parents are trying to help them learn. And I don't know if it's because of fear. I think it's more of because they want something different. And so like a lot of times for me, when I'm in resistance, it's because I don't want things to be that way. I want it to be a different way. And that doesn't always come from fear. It just comes from sometimes desire. Sometimes it's my wants that I am not getting. And so sometimes you have to let your wants go because you can't change the current situation. You can't change another person. You just have to accept what is, right? And sometimes when we see another person, I could see resistance to another person being fear. But I think resistance itself comes from desire for something different. We don't want what was given to us. And when we flip that around and we accept it, and one thing that I really love, we spent a whole episode talking about it, is flipping it to gratitude. Looking at something that you originally were like, I don't want that. I'm upset about that. I don't like that. And flipping it to what can I be grateful for in this moment? Like, accept it for what it is and find something that you can be grateful for. Like my kids, we still had an Easter egg hunt and I gave them money instead of candy. And we did a puzzle together as a family. And so it was like we were trying to teach our kids to focus on what they do have rather than focusing on what they lack and focusing on all of the things that they wish they had or that it was different. Or, you know, it's like my kids get so frustrated with each other because one of them's annoying and the other one is trying to do something and they get angry at each other and that's them resisting each other, right? But I think it's just because they want a different outcome and they're not accepting what is. They want it to be different. And, you know, I'm trying to teach my kids. We talk to them about the gap and the gain. We're on a Dan Sullivan kick right now.
That name's familiar. Refresh my memory on Dan Sullivan.
He's an entrepreneur coach, and he's written a ton of books, and he's writing a bunch of books with this other guy. I can't remember his name. Sorry. But they've written, I think, 4 books together, and they're all kind of sequential. And Remington's going through their whole series. So we've been he listened to this Gap and the Gain, and we're trying to teach our kids the Gap and the Gain. And Remington did this really fun drawing where he just drew this like little squiggly line and then a dot and then a dotted line after the dot. And he was just like, the squiggly line is your journey. And then the dot is where you are. And then the dotted line, and at the end of the dotted line, there's a star. And he's like, at the end of the dotted line, that's where you want to be. And you are the dot. And you can either look at the space that you have to go to travel to and get upset because you're not there yet. That's being in the gap. Or you can look behind you and look where you started and you see all the progress that you've made, all of the things that are working for you, and that's you being in the gain. And so that's like our theme this week is like, we're constantly asking our kids, like, are you in the gap or are you in the gain? You know, are you looking at what you don't have? Or are you looking at what you have, what you didn't have yesterday, what you didn't have a year ago? You know, and that's one of those like, okay, well, you accept where you are and you find the goodness of what's happening, right? It's like I could look at the world today and find so many things wrong with it, but I could also go outside and see amazing things. It's just like the world is what it is. There's good and bad. And you can decide what you want to do with like your acceptance. You can decide accept it and find the good and then be the good, or resist it and be upset about it and be stuck in that resistance, because you won't grow when you're in resistance, like
right.
You said.
Well,
right?
I believe that's true. And the example you gave ties back to something else that we brought up before, is not being outcome oriented. It doesn't mean that you don't have an outcome you desire, but if that's all we focus on, then where we are, we're not feeling fulfilled because we're not there yet. We're on the journey, but the only thing that matters is the outcome, and we're missing the journey, missing the learning, missing the growth along the way. So if you're going to LA from New York, you know, you go past the Great Lakes, but you can't enjoy it because we're going to LA. And I grew up in the LA area, and I think the Great Lakes would be more interesting to me than LA. But if I was going there, you know, that's the outcome. But along the way, there is a lot to be seen and a lot to be embraced, which does depend on our mindset. If we're open to things or if we're resistant to things, will determine how we see things. You know, the desert, a lot of people don't like the desert. And I remember being in Las Vegas and with my son years ago, and we're out at the pool and I'm looking around going, this is really ugly. I mean, I just think Las Vegas is an ugly desert. And I'm like, why would God give us ugly like this? And he's kind of pondering, oh, well, it's a way of us appreciating the beauty too, because I look at this and it's ugly, and I look at that and I say it's beautiful, but other people look at this and think it's beautiful and they think that's ugly. But it's the contrast is also what keeps us from being bored a lot too. I still think Las Vegas is an ugly desert. I would live there if there was opportunity or something that I felt I wanted to pursue, but I just wouldn't enjoy the scenery. Now, St. George is another desert, and that's got beautiful red rocks and things like that. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, we're in a journey, and, you know, I think you and I both look at the future and after we transition from this life and how glorious it'll be. But if that's all we look to, we're going to miss the journey. And life has a lot to offer for us. And to embrace it all, you've got to open up. And if you're in resistance to it, you'll miss a lot of it's not all just about a grind and a learning experience but it is. But if you're accepting of that, then it's going to be that much more fulfilling. And if you accept that everything that happens for a reason, for you to learn the things you're supposed to learn, even what we would call travesties, they're just feedback to us about where we are in life. You know, we say, why would God allow that? Well, why do we allow that? You know, why do we allow human suffering? Why do we allow starvation? Why do we allow hunger? If God came in and changed it all, what's the point of our life? You know, we're just doing what we're programmed to do. I'm not trying to be preachy, but people say, well, why would God allow starvation? Well, why do we? You know, because we have all the power to do something about it, but why don't we? Well, because we're in resistance. To me, we're in resistance to something bigger than us, that if we embraced it, there would be no hunger, there would be no starvation, no poverty. But that comes down to each individual also being in resistance to who they are. Because we put ourselves in cliques or cultures or things like that, you know, I'm this, I'm this, I'm black, I'm white, this is what white people do, this is what black people do, this is what men do, this is what women do. Well, I do what I do, and you do what you do, not necessarily because you're a woman. Some of that is part of it, but you do what you do because as you do things to bring you fulfillment. And if I do things to bring me fulfillment, they don't clash, because the whole thing is fulfillment. If we all embrace the idea of fulfillment, love, and peace, there's no clash there. They would have a harmony. But why do we resist that? Because we're afraid, well, if I do it, but you don't, we can't have that. But you know what? The only one I can control is me. But we resist our own self and our own magnificence because, well, what's the point? It's a dog-eat-dog world, and if I embrace that part of me, somebody's going to take from me. Okay, so water always goes to the lowest level. We'll just flow down and form a lake of a bunch of cynics rather than rising up and elevating the whole society.
I wanted to share an experience I had last week. When we were in Chiapas, it started in Chiapas. I looked at everything there and I was just amazed at all of the beautiful people, the beautiful things. I mean, like, they had beautiful handmade dresses and fun markets you could go into, and just like, I was just excited about everything, and it was all so different to me because I'd never been there, I'd never seen it, and it was just new and exciting. And I had this thought as I was driving to get my kids. I was at a stoplight and there was construction happening right next to me, and it was one of those construction vehicles that like flattens the ground. I don't remember what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
a metal roller just flattens the ground. So I was looking at that and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that before. Like, actually watch them. And I was just watching this guy, you know, flatten the ground and back up and change his direction. Like, I'd never seen it operated before. And, or at least I never noticed it. I probably had seen it. I just never noticed it. And I realized I had this thought come to me and I stopped and I looked everywhere around me and I was just like, look at how amazing this is. Look at how amazing he is at his job. And look at all of these beautiful plants as I'm driving on this road. And like, oh, there was a beautiful bird in the sky. I know this sounds so cheesy, but it took me a minute. And I was like, if we saw the world like I saw Chiapas, like I came to Chiapas and everything was new and exciting and beautiful. And I sat there and I came to my hometown or came to where I live and looked around and thought, wow, look at that tree. That's so beautiful. Like it's things that we see every day that we don't notice. And when we take a second to stop and really imagine as if we'd never seen it before, how wonderful the world would be if we could see it that way. There's an episode of Bluey, and I love Bluey. There's an episode of Bluey where they play a game with their dad about being born yesterday, and their dad was born yesterday, so he shows up and he doesn't know what anything is, and so they're trying to explain all of these things of what is, and he ends up picking up a leaf in part of the episode and looking at it. And then he started seeing all of the intricacies in that leaf and holding it up to the light of the sun and how the light filtered through the leaf and how cool. I mean, like it was one of those moments that he was having that he was noticing the amazing things that are around him. And rather than just, I feel like, you know, we go through our life in resistance a lot of times. And when we switch that to acceptance, then we can start shifting our mindset to looking at what is. Like, yes, we accept what is, but now look at what is. Like, look at what we have and what we're blessed with and all of the beauty that is around us, rather than resisting, like, I don't like living in Las Vegas, or I don't like living in this place, or, you know, this place is just freezing cold. You are where you are. Find something that is magical about it, because we have been given such a gift. And like you said, we have been given so much variety in this world. And there's so, like, even in the desert in Las Vegas, you can find plants that grow that never get water, which is amazing. That's amazing that it can grow. There are Joshua tree forests, right? Joshua trees, I don't think they're very pretty, but they're really cool. And the fact that they can just grow in the desert like that is awesome. And so it's one of those times when you do that resistance, you're missing out on all of the amazing things that we've been given, that we have. And, you know, it was just that moment when I was driving that it was like, I need to see this world as if I was in Chiapas, like I'd never seen it before, and how much joy I can experience when I see that. So I wanted to share that experience.
Yeah, and it's accepting everything. You know, it's not the good over the bad, because it's all part of this life. We either accept it all or we don't. So if we're in resistance to what we call the bad, we're going to be in resistance to everything. It doesn't mean we don't see it, but we don't really appreciate everything for what it is. And if we could begin, and, you know, I'm preaching to me, you know, as much as anybody, because I have my resistance. Does that mean, you know, well, somebody could listen to this and go, oh, they're hypocrites? No, it's a truth we know. We're learning. Everybody's learning. But I think that's part of the journey, is for us to learn this.
I'm not in that state of noticing everything is beautiful all the time, right?
God, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is if somebody's saying, well, you guys don't do it, why should I? Well, because my life is my life and your life is your life. So if you're going to wait for me to totally get it, you might wait a long, long time. You have no control over that. So if everybody starts working on themselves, then it's going to make it easier for everybody. But, you know, speaking of Mexico, I lived in Mexico for a couple of years. When I first got there, you know, I looked around and they did everything wrong. I mean, and I lived in this converted garage made out of cinder block and their plaster. The owner of the garage had an old Chevy that he was in a carport, but he'd always back it in, and every morning he'd get up and warm up the car. Well, the car needed rings, and we had a window right by where the exhaust was coming out with the fan, because it was hot, and this smoke would come in the morning, And, I'm new in Mexico. First of all, we got cockroaches over at that end. It's just not the comforts of my home. And now we're being poisoned. And I would just get so irritated. Why did they do things this way? I'd go out and, you go around and their houses weren't done the way they should be done. And nobody had air conditioning and the food they ate. It's like, come on, people. I was in resistance to the culture. And I thought, part of my job is to educate them on the right way to do it. Luckily for them, I didn't speak Spanish very well. But somewhere along the way, a little bell went off and I went, because I was asking myself, how come I'm not being well received? Now, some people really liked me, but that's because I didn't speak Spanish very well and they just thought I was a nice guy. But why am I not being received very well? And I started to realize, well, as far as human relationships right now, I suck. And I'm so busy judging them that there's no way, not really, that I'm going to be able to connect with them, because it's all about I'm resisting them and their resistance is going to resist me. So when I started to really see Mexico differently, it's to the point where now when you say you went to Mexico, I'm like, oh, I'd love to go there again. I'd love to go there. One of the differences, though, I was going to be there for a long time. You know you're coming back, but even along the way, I started to realize I'm here so I can hate it or I can love it. What do I choose? And I started to choose to love it, and I started to see them differently. Yeah, they do things differently down there, but they're people. And I started to realize that. And I had, the second year I was there, I had a lot more success than I did the first year as far as communicating and connecting with people.
Well, and it's like, I feel like that resistance is the cause of a lot of problems in the world today. Like all of the, people just want other people to conform to their beliefs and their thoughts and their way of life. And a lot of the violence that happens right now is because of that resistance. They're not open to understanding that there's another person who has a different mindset or a different way of doing things, that it's not wrong, it's just different. And oh my gosh, I think about like the history of our nation and how so much of that, was, and a lot of the not good, the not pretty, the ugly parts of our nation, it came from that resistance to somebody being different and believing that we know it better and we've got it, we know it all. I feel like, when we are in that mindset, we're lost on the wonders that other people can show us. Like the things that people can show us that are amazing that you wouldn't have seen if you were in resistance and like, no, my way is the better way and I know best and you don't, And that's in all relationships.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I had a young couple came on to the tour and they were the first ones there. I was just talking to them. They're very nice people. And I always ask, where are you from? And they surprised me because they're very nice, nice looking young couple. And they said, Iran, we call it, but Iran. It's like, and at first I'm like, really? They're so nice.
Because you judged them.
Well, of course I did. I mean, that was the initial response, because my information about Iran is they all want to kill us, death to America. And they were just the nicest people. They were here working, like on a work visa they'd been here 5 years. And I asked them how they like it here, and they really like it. And I said, you ever go home? They said, oh, yeah, we want to move back there. And part of me is like, you really? It's just sand. I didn't say that, of course, but I'm like, well, what's it like over there? And they started telling me what it was like over there. And a couple of things that came up for me, I realized to them, that's home. To them, that's normal. To them, that's the way things are. And she didn't have her face covered. They dressed like Western civilization people, not in robes and head coverings. But to them, that was home. But in the process of us talking, we're just three human spirits just connecting there, and our differences meant nothing. That's just normal to them. What's normal to them is a little bit different for us. But in all of it, if we just embrace and accept that they do things differently than we do, then we can deal with them differently. But if we see them, it brings up another topic we could talk about sometime. What if we lived in a world where we just said, I have no enemies? I embrace everything. Doesn't mean I like it. You know, some places they're beheading people. But I accept that, you know. I'm not going to go over there and tell them they're wrong. They'll behead me. But, you know, what if we embrace it so that we can deal with it from a different point of view? Because one thing we resist is being wrong. We resist the idea that we're wrong about something. So if we go over to where the Taliban or ISIS or whatever, where they're beheading people, and we tell them they're wrong to do that, are they going to go, oh, we didn't know that. Okay. No, they're not going to do that because they don't want to be wrong. They're going to tell us we're wrong, probably, and probably behead me. But what if we actually sought to connect on a spirit-to-spirit level? What could happen? I would say be real discerning on whether you should go over there and do that at this point. But what would happen? What if we just really saw everybody that way, and instead of resisting them and their culture and their lifestyle, began to accept that's normal to them? And so how do we make it all work? How do we make it all mesh? Can they be in their culture, us in ours, and we can still have peace, have joy, have fulfillment? And when I was with these people from Iran, now I'm very conscious to say it the way it's supposed to be said. But what if we, you know, I mean, in that conversation, we were not at war with each other. We're not enemies. Me and these two people were bonding for what we could in a few minutes. But you know what? That's possible anywhere if we are open to it. But it's for me to get out of resistance and open myself up. And for you, I cannot control anybody else. But if I say, well, I got to wait till our countries do that before I can do that, then those people might not have come to the United States themselves, might not have come on a ghost tour of all things, and might have looked at me with suspicion, but they were very open. I'm like, and you're from Iran? I didn't say that, of course, but I'm like, wow, you're just like us.
It's the, see, resistance, I think, and judgment cause prejudices, and we tend to place prejudice on things that are different from us, and that we group people with cultures and what we see, you know? It's like, if we just connect with, like you said, connect with people as people, see people as people, it's like, the love that I felt for the people in Chiapas was unreal. Like, I didn't know any of them, but each of the faces, I just felt so much love for them because God loves people. He loves all people. It's not just white people. It's not just Americans. Like, he loves all people. And when you go, you get out of yourself and you see the beauty that is all around the world, even in Iran, even in, you know, even in ISIS. I'm sure there that God, not even, even God loves them. God loves them. And I believe that it's our journey here to learn how to love like God. Because they may not be doing, they're not making choices that I feel like are good choices. But that doesn't make them less valuable to God. They are still infinitely valuable. They have infinite worth and infinite potential, just like you and me. And I don't know. I've always loved different cultures and connecting with people. I was going to be an anthropologist at one point because I loved history and I loved people. And when we're in resistance, we are closed off to the beauty and the love that God has for his people. And I'm getting spiritual and preachy, and I'm sorry for anybody who feels uncomfortable with that, but that's what I feel, is when we're in resistance to others, we are missing out on feeling the love that God has for them and the love that God has for us. Because when I was in Chiapas, I felt that love for them. I felt so much joy and love for those people. And then I was able to experience that love for myself. which I was having a hard time feeling. So when we connect with more people and we accept them for being people, who they are, all their differences and everything, we can feel that love. And when we are in resistance, that's when we find the prejudice. That's when we find the anger. That's when we find the frustration. So I think this has been a great eye-opening episode. Did you have something else you wanted to share?
Yeah, when you said prejudice, think about that word. It's prejudicial. The word judicial means judgment. So we're prejudging them. We don't know them. We're just making a judgment before we even get to know them. So it's not a bad word. It's just feedback for us. you're judging. Oh, no, I'm not judging. I'm prejudging based on whatever criteria we have. So in that, we will, even if we prejudge them as good, we're still judging, so we cannot know the good in them. And good comes from God. I mean, that word comes from God. I meant godly at one time. They just put another O in there. I mean, that's not all they, but that's where it comes from. Goodly means godly. But we miss that if we're prejudging anybody, even if we judge them as good or nice or whatever. We're missing out. And I don't want to sound preachy, because this is all for me too. You know, I get to work on me, you get to work on you. I can't control what you do with it. But by even having this conversation, it opens up a door of learning and opening up to how we're self-sabotaging ourselves and in our own way. Because I know I'm still learning, I'm still breathing. So as long as I'm here breathing and learning, I've still got some ways to go. Yeah, this has been great. I didn't really know where it would go. I just went, well, we haven't discussed what we're going to talk about. So yeah, let's try this. And I thought, maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe not. But this has been great.
Yeah, I wanted to give a challenge to our listeners. Think about if it's a person or if it's your circumstance that you are resisting. Find a way to accept it. Again, it's not resignation. You can still change, but you can change yourself. And surprisingly enough, when you change yourself, you change your circumstances and the people around you start changing too, which is kind of cool. But find something that you're resisting and accept it. And I would love to maybe challenge our listeners to try the exercise, the experience that I had. Try the exercise of looking at your world, whether it's on a walk, on your drive, as if you'd never seen those things before. And I would love to hear what people's experiences are for that. It was amazing for me. And anytime I get into that mindset, it's like I see so many amazing things. So I would love for people to try that out. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Michael?
Thank you for sharing your light.
Thank you for sharing yours.
this, I believe, is an inspired project for you. And I'm grateful to be part of it. And supporting that.
Thank you.
Makes a difference.
I hope so. I hope it will. But yeah, thank you. I feel the same way. So thank you for being a part of it. I would be a lot harder for me to do this without you. Hey, I know I've mentioned my trip to Chiapas, Mexico a few times in the past couple of podcasts, simply because it was so transformational for me. I remember when we were getting back on the plane home, sitting in the airport and looking at my husband and going, What just happened? Wow, that was absolutely incredible. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around the experiences that we just had and the growth that we both experienced. And I bring this up because my mentor is actually looking for a select group of people to go on another trip. So if you or someone you know would be interested in going on this transformational trip, just direct message me on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect you. It really is a life-changing experience and a very humbling experience as well. So if it is something that you're interested in, just let me know. And I'd love to connect you guys. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of You Already Are. If you liked this episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and share it with somebody who maybe needs to learn how to be more accepting in their life. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and message us. We love to hear any feedback from you guys. And we'll catch you next time on You Already Are. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, You already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.